I mean, you're the soccer man.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all soccer people.
This is Roots Pod.
Stunner steps. Slow one that gets past Petrucci for the goal. 1-0, Oakland Roots.
Quite a celebration there.
San Antonio FC 0, Oakland Roots SC 1. And I think we had actually multiple articles on the blog this week discuss how one single result injected a measure of hope back into the end of the season, which has been missing for a while. Because let's be honest, the Roots performances, the results, they have not been where they needed to be to make the playoffs. And then we got this one. I said it last time, this team loves to zig when you think they're going to zag. And maybe that's this. Maybe this is a sign of things to come because, you know, there are some reasons to believe this is a durable turnaround. But let's get into it. Roots would take all 3 points on the road against San Antonio, a quality USL side. Always difficult to go to Toyota Field and come away with a result. Even the best Roots teams have struggled with that. And just as often, we have dealt with some weird juju. I don't know if anybody remembers Lamar Batista's goal, like practically accidental goal from halfway in a match at Toyota Field. But this one was different. And I think it also says something about how the Roots are just going to be a tough matchup for top sides in the West and the East too, I would say, right? If you want to come out and play this team and not just sit back, this is a squad with the ability to move you around the pitch, pass through you, move through you. The issues are what they have been for much of the season, which is that every once in a while you have a defensive lapse out of nowhere and the Roots have a hard time converting their chances. And for reasons, I think on some level of luck, those things have combined in many matches this season to result in losses. Here, you know, I do think the Roots had some defensive lapses at the very beginning, the very end. San Antonio wasn't able to punish them. In part, you know, at the beginning of the game, that was all Kendall McIntosh. And that's something he's capable of, but not something we've necessarily seen on a consistent basis from him or Raphael Spiegel. The Roots had their chances from open play. They didn't convert them, but it didn't matter because near the very end of the game, San Antonio's goalkeeper lost his goddamn head and for reasons unknown, just sort of shoved Peter Wilson in the back as he was watching the ball roll out of play. It seems like everyone lost their head over the last 10 or so minutes of the game, actually. It got really loose. It had been a well-contested match up to that point. I think there was a second yellow shown, and the Roots took advantage, and they started applying some pressure, and then Peter Wilson happened to be in the 18-yard box when the San Antonio keeper lost his mind, puts away the penalty, 1-0 Oakland Roots. And while, look, they didn't really move up the table, as we record, they're sitting in 10th, and all but one team ahead of them has more games to play than they do, which is hopefully not something that will come back to bite them in the ass. So they haven't moved up the table, but they are just 3 points off the playoff line. And so we can start to dream again, basically. So let's talk about this. Let's begin with this. There's obviously been an uptick in the quality of the play recently, and there are two pretty obvious reasons why, one of which doesn't really apply here as Bruno Lapa. We talked a lot about him last week. But the other, John, David Garcia, has come back, and the defense seems to have regained some measure of stability, and that is huge at this point of the season.
Yeah, defense definitely has been the strong point here. What, that's two clean sheets in the last four matches. It's, what else? I had the numbers here.
3 goals conceded in five.
In five. Haven't allowed more than one goal since the 3-1 loss to Sacramento on July 25th. So a whole month of solid defense. And it does kind of remind me of shades of 2021 when Jordan Farrell was the coach at the time. And I remember, you know, going through a really, really bad stretch and the focus of that team at the time. And I remember when things started to turn around, Jordan said that the focus was defense, get the defense right, and then have the offense come around later on. And that happened. So we're hoping, you know, we get shades of 2021 again and sneak into the playoffs and get a first round upset, you know, and I think this team, very contrasting from 2021, this is a solid roster that could take down a top seed on the road. You know, as we've seen with these playoffs, any team can win. You could be a sixth seed and win a championship a la Juan Guerra and Phoenix Rising. So, I mean, that's the magic of the playoffs, right? It's another reason why I think winning the regular season is a little bit more impressive than winning the postseason tournament. But that's another debate for another day. But, you know, Garcia really enabling not just defense, but offense too. You know, he's creating, you know, he's moving the ball down the field. I have how many passes into the final third did he have? He completed 6 of 9 long balls. He had 4 passes into the final third. So really a sign that he is a type of player that, you know, defender that can create offensively, allows them to play out of the back, which is something that Ryan Martin likes to do. But we also have to mention Neville Hackshaw getting the start over Michael Edwards. And, you know, as much as we've liked Edwards, it's it worked out. Hackshaw has, I mean, his strong point as a center back is his long ball ability, is his ability to play passes downfield. He had, what did he have? Do I have it here? I don't think I have it here. But yeah, he was very productive in this game. And it's, if he can keep going like that, it might be kind of hard to take him out of the lineup right now. What do you guys think?
Well, until future notice, I my assumption is that Edwards was being given a rest. That is, there are no more easy games, or at least no games that the Roots can afford not to send out their strongest team. But you have to give your players rest. So even though San Antonio is a tough team on paper, I think that my guess is that he said, we have Garcia back, we're going to give Edwards a week off and make sure we don't lose Edwards. You know.
Well, in Poulter's write-up on the blog, Daniel Poulter, he cites that it was a coach's decision to put Hackshaw in over Edwards. That doesn't mean you're wrong, but it was a
coach. Yeah, but a coach's decision could be that he's in the red zone, right? That
I was going to say, Peter seems to be describing a coach's decision.
it is very much a coach's decision, but
you make the point about Garcia's passing, and like to have two center backs who can hit long balls is an interesting play, especially, you know, when you're going to take on a team like San Antonio, and maybe there was something to that in addition to the rest. Although I will say, Peter, my first instinct is the same as yours, that like you got to give the guy a rest at some point. And if you're looking at the rest of the schedule, you probably, there's no game you can assume you're going to take the 3 points on. And you might, you just roll with it on this one, because this is where in some ways the risk is the lowest. But anyway, Continue.
Yeah. So I was thinking about the fact when our defense was
first
really good,
third butt of the day.
When the defense was great at the beginning of the year, I thought Edwards.
That is a Coors.
What? This is a, sorry, I'm drinking an Original Pattern Pick Your Battles IPA, which is a lesson I simply just reject outright. I had assumed at the beginning of the season, you know, like the eye test, I thought that Edwards was the key. And maybe he still is, right? But Garcia went down and the defense fell apart. And the numbers sort of back that up. And I mean, I don't want to, there are probably confounding factors here, but David Garcia has played 8 full 90s and has conceded, and 8 goals have been conceded in his time on the pitch, 1 per 90. Hackshaw has been on for 14.5 90s with 23 goals conceded. And Edwards has been on 20.9 with 30 goals conceded. So that is Garcia has 1 per 90, Hackshaw has 1.5, and Edwards has 1.44. And that's, I mean, that's pretty stark. And I think that Hackshaw there is sort of the, I have criticized Hackshaw a lot in the past. In this case, he is really just the stand-in for the team without Garcia, right? And because the one exception to that is last game where Edwards got the week off. It's such a small sample size, but I went and checked this as long as I was looking at these stats on FBRAF. Mark Fisher has played 3.8 full 90s and the team have conceded 2 when he's on the pitch. And for a signing that we didn't know exactly what to make of, when he came in, he's really looking like a hell of a signing right now because we've been good when he played and not when he didn't. And obviously the step up in responsibility moving to central mid this game, where I understand that he played really well. I didn't watch the game, but I was told he had quite a good game. Maybe Martin has some ideas cooking.
Well, and this, I think that's a great segue. Thank you for that. Because this speaks, this is the other thing I think that is evidence that this might be something of a durable turnaround. Because we have talked about how the base of the midfield is phenomenal defensively, but that's not really, it hasn't really been doing much for us because the team as a whole experiences random mental lapses throughout the game. And it isn't offset by offensive attacking benefits. They're just, we have had trouble progressing the ball from midfield to attack. And, you know, McCabe passes a lot, but he's the pass away from the pass. And he's not, either guys aren't connecting with him or he's not setting them up. It's just not working to have him and Bobosi at the base of the midfield. And to throw Mark Fisher in there and to have the results you have says, okay, you know, we've signed some new guys to help with the attack. You know, that's Bruno Lapa. We tried a little bit the attacking midfield with Tucker Lepley, and that looked like it was going to be good. And then it didn't quite pan out. And now, you know, the third level, we're trying something new here, and that seemed to really work quite well. And,
it's, you know, the reverse Panos Armanakis.
It is the reverse Panos Armanakis. If this sticks, right, I feel like this might solve a huge number of the issues that the Roots have. It also lets you get a lot of those wing fullbacks on the field at the same time, which might well help with distribution also. To have a number of guys, in defense or, you know, further back who are able to ping the ball around, maybe this team all of a sudden looks a little bit different. But, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We'll just start with this game. Go to you, John, because as Peter's already told us, he didn't watch.
Did not watch.
Fisher midfield. How great was that?
Yeah, we have to hope that is one of the key switches in this final run here because, you know, like you mentioned there, that's the ball moving from the midfield into the attack has been an ongoing issue for, oh boy, what, 2/3 of the season or something like that?
Frankly, the entire time. Yeah, right? I think at this point you can tell a story of the Oakland Roots that the attack wasn't good at the beginning of the season. They were just, hitting on long shots at a high, unsustainable rate. And when we stopped getting those, like the offense fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
And so this would be huge if this can fix what ails them.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like you mentioned again, you know, Bravo and De Vicente have been playing well. You know, Fisher, he only had three passes into the final third, at least credited for them. But he was a key part of the goal that was wiped in the 18th minute. And that was also a product with Bravo on the wing. Bravo playing a pass from the left side to Fisher in the midfield, takes a few dribbles, gets the defender to come out to him, feeds Velo into the box. Velo feeds Jakison for a goal, you know, called offsides. But it was something we've been missing from that midfield spot, just able to pick out someone who can create a play, create a goal. So, you know, tough on Bobosi. I still think he has a lot of potential, but he just hasn't been that playmaking distributor that they need out of that position. Like you mentioned, you know, McCabe is, you know, a pass away from the pass. You know, they need someone like Fisher who's going to walk the ball up towards the box, pick out a player who, you know, can score a goal. That's been missing this entire season. So, you know, we have to hope that is a difference maker. I mean, Martin's been trying so many different things at that midfield spot. And, you know, here we go with Fisher. Fisher did play central midfielder when he was in college. In my write-up of him when he was signed, I had him as a midfielder slash a defender, you know, really versatile player. Started in the back line, but, you know, as this season has progressed and you have good talent at that fullback spot, you know, plug him in there into that midfield and you're getting your best players or most informed players right now on the field. So I think we could I definitely expect that this next game. I can't imagine taking him off now after, you know, helping create a chance, which is something they've been missing out of that spot. So hopefully keeps it going, because boy, do we need it.
Well, it's funny. You mentioned that it's a little harsh on Bobosi, and it, you know, it's possible that he is, because I still think the guy's a great player. I mean, it just fit poorly with what Martin wants out of his central midfielders. You know, like that's not what Martin wants. There doesn't take advantage of Bobosi's athleticism, and he doesn't mind having guys who are a little like the role he wants McCabe to play, McCabe is better at than Bobosi. And the sort of like stitching together defense and attack that he wants from like an eight, Bobosi is just sort of struggling to do. So I don't know, maybe he'll find a way to work into one of those roles. Or honest, you know, I mean, if McCabe picks up an injury, I bet Bobosi's straight back in, you know. And I think there's a great player there, and you know, the thing about having good players that you don't need is that you can sell them or trade them if you need to. And so maybe that's, you know, I'm not writing the guy off. I'm not saying that he doesn't have a role here to play. But if he doesn't, I suspect that he's a player other teams want. And that can be a very valuable asset for Martin, who would love to make a trade to get the player he wants to for a run in, you know. Briefly, I want to two points on goalkeeping, if I can. One of them, Aaron mentioned the penalty and what an absurd decision it was from the opposing goalkeeper. What was absolutely the funniest part about it to me is in the highlight, you can see the goalkeeper turns around and is pointing to the ball. because he thinks the important question is that he successfully shepherded the ball out, so it's a goal kick. And it's like, no, man, you fucking mugged him. It's like every other person in the park knows it's a penalty, and you think you just successfully avoided a corner.
And somehow it's not a yellow, too. Like, he was on a second. Well, he was on a
straight cowardice. It's just a referee trying not to make a second hard decision, you know? Yeah,
exactly. They just got a red, and it's a clear foul, and they're like, oh, I don't want to put him down a second man, but it was a clear yellow. Like,
and are they out of sides? Is it going to mean that a position player is defending that penalty?
Well, I don't know if they were out of subs at the time, but that is a good point, because it was at the end of the game. So. Yeah, had to have been, yeah.
I'm going to look that up briefly. Anyway, my other point about the goalkeeping is just I don't think that we've mentioned Kendall McIntosh. Maybe Aaron did at the beginning of his recap, but he has played very well the last several games. I mean, you can't concede 3 goals in 5 games and not have the keeper be a big part of that, I think, unless you're David Raya, but stealing a living from the Arsenal ownership. But
far from the worst offender on that front. Allegedly, well, Gabriel Jesus is still under contract, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not counting the guys who literally don't get on the field, but I just feel like Stan Kroenke is going to make David Raya start running social media from the field so he earn his paycheck. In any event, Kendall McIntosh with the double save. I mean, we named him man of the match. It's not like we have ignored him. I guess John named him man of the match. I don't know. Again, I couldn't get the game where I was last weekend. I was really pissed off about it. Anyway, outstanding performance, even if it was very front-loaded from Kendall McIntosh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
For the record, you can get the match anywhere. You just need a VPN. And
I'm not a criminal, John.
And YouTube.
You didn't hear that from us.
Everybody does it.
If you sail the high seas, you can always get the match. I mean, that requires an internet connection and things that I don't think can be assumed.
I had an internet connection. It's just,
I was trying to help you out here, bud.
Yeah, it like YouTube TV decides that when I'm on the other side of Sacramento, I'm out of my local market, so I don't get KTVU. And for some reason, ESPN isn't, like, my ESPN Plus account isn't working. And I only remember that after kickoff, when it's like probably too late to ruin someone's evening at Disney Plus customer service.
Yeah, when they went to that My Disney thing, it really screwed up a lot. Anyway, one more aspect of this match probably worth discussing, and that would be the decision to bring Peter Wilson off the bench. And that seemed to hook him up to the rejuvenation machine a little bit. And if we're worried that he's been timid or that he just doesn't have the same first step that he had before, bringing him on against guys who have been running for an hour would be an obvious solution. I think Luis de Guzman on the blog lamented that we didn't get to see Lapa and Wilson on the pitch at the same time. And I do think that's something we need to see in coming matches. But it did seem to really work this time. Jockeson is not the guy at 9, but he's definitely a serviceable forward. And Wilson came on and, I mean, he played very well. It's his signature moment is, as we discussed, the product of Batruni. Is that his name? Whatever the San Antonio keeper's name was, losing his goddamn head. But it's an interesting wrinkle. I don't know if it's, do we think, John, this is something we'll see in coming matches, or is this a one-time kind of thing? What's your supposition there?
For what, this attack at Lapa?
Wilson coming off the bench. What do you think I'm doing over here?
Wilson coming out. I mean, I don't know, man. It's
you've seen those it's posts a toughie on TikTok or Instagram these days, like the young people ostensibly saying, how could you ever write a 10-page essay without AI, and old people our age responding, man, we wrote 10 pages without reading the book. It really feels like no one read the book in this episode.
No. But
to be fair, I didn't do my homework in high school either.
Yeah. I had the teacher's assistant class, and I was a teacher's assistant. I would just do all my homework there. But I mean, to your question though, I'm like, man, it's tough. I mean, they're
playing. Could you just remind us what you think the question is?
They're playing well. Like it's hard to see making that change. Putting Wilson in for either of the two. And
all right, let's move on. Things look good. People have hope. And so this weekend, the Oakland Roots welcome Orange County Soccer Club. Soccer Club? Yes, I think Soccer Club. To the Coliseum, one of the last three, four matches. I forget how many at this point. I get so many emails about it. Orange County spent actually, this to my point at the beginning of this episode about how the Roots seem very well structured to take on the top teams. I mean, I think that match at Orange County, which wasn't played in Irvine, but in like Anaheim or Tustin or something like that, is probably the epitome of this, right? Roots lost 3-2, but that was an incredibly well-played soccer match. Roots had the upper hand. They suffered from one unbelievable mental lapse and also failed to convert some chances. And I mean, this has been the story of the entire season, that they went toe to toe with one of the best teams in the league and shot themselves in the foot, essentially. But I think one of the things you have to take from that match, from this last match, they are well suited to taking on these teams. So this is a great opportunity to continue some of the momentum they've started to build. Orange County is in a rough spot right now. Their last three matches, all at home, a 3-0 loss to Tampa Bay Rowdies, a 3-2 loss to Louisville City, and a 5-1 loss to FC Tulsa. That is a skid, to put it mildly. And, you know, I think one of the things that the people who cover the team, especially as fans, they probably tell you this has been kind of an inconsistent team most of the season, but they hit it a little bit because a lot of their bad performances were in the cup competitions. And so you're able to tell yourself a narrative about how actually this is one of the best teams. They're just not taking these other competitions seriously. And you can't really do that anymore because they've surrendered 11 goals in their last three matches in USL competition, in regular season competition. And so this inconsistency seems to be sort of coming home, to bite them in the ass at this point. There's not really an obvious answer to why all of a sudden they're playing terribly, at least from the outside. Maybe if I really, really paid attention, I could have a slightly better answer for you there. They're just a little inconsistent.
Like me on the last question.
What now?
Nothing.
I did some research. And wasn't able to find an answer. And yeah. By that, I mean, I DM'd the guy who does the Orange and Black Soccer Cast about 5 minutes before we started recording, and he hasn't gotten back to me.
Damn.
So no one knows. I mean, no one can tell you what's totally going on with this team.
Totally unknowable.
It's a conundrum.
Yeah. And I'm sure
it's probably Tom Brewitt's fault. I'll just throw out there, it is almost certainly Tom Brewitt's
fault. Always Tom Brewitt's fault.
Yeah. I suppose you can expect that this is a team that will be re-energized, out for blood, whatever, after having lost by 4 goals. And they surrendered a hat trick to a hat trick to a fellow whose name comes up on FB Ref as Keem Ordonez, but who I believe his full name is Archimedes Ordonez, which is far superior to Keem. Hell, and I really think we need to have a conversation with FB Ref about fixing that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in a bad spot. The Roots are not. in a bad spot all of a sudden. And so it feels like the right time to be catching these guys. And I get nervous feeling that kind of hope this far out from a match, you know, John. I just, like, I'm uncomfortable with that feeling. You talk me down here.
Yeah, I still got my guard up, you know. I don't think I've been confident going into a match in a long, long, long time. Because yeah, you know, two to make it true, right? They've got to put together these performances. They've got to put together a 90-minute performance. That's something that has been lacking the entire season, this last game included. You know, going back to the last Orange County match, like, Roots were looking pretty positive, but, you know, mistake goals, like, I think, yeah, we talked before logging on here that, you know, Edwards played a pass back to Spiegel kind of cleared it into a defender, led to a goal. They had a bunch of missed chances, which is something that's been repeating in many, many games, recent matches. I think I also wrote in that last Orange County write-up that they were looking for that third goal scorer. Well, here we are 2 months later.
Did we find him?
We're still looking, you know. So, and one of those goal scorers are coming off the bench now. So, you know, this team really has to prove they could put it together, you know, take Orange County while they're playing poorly and not be Dr. Oakland Roots, which they have been in the past. So, you know, it's a big opportunity for them to prove they could put together two good performances in a row, make this an even better performance than this last game. You know, it was just 1-0. It wasn't a world-beating performance. So, you know, now's the time. It's, you know, we're getting down to that point in the schedule. All these matches are tough. They're all against playoff teams. You know, they made a lot of mistakes in that last Orange County match that I'm sure they want to get back. Well, fuck, man. I'm sure there are a lot of moments in the last 2 months that they want to get back. So, yeah, I'm hard to say that I'm feeling confident going into this. I would say that my guard is still very, very much up right now. They have a lot to prove.
Had you asked,
the Orange County SoccerCast guys anything else about Orange County?
No.
Okay.
What'd you say, Peter?
Well, there was a long silence, like Aaron was expecting me, and I was, like, pretty sure Aaron hadn't asked me a question, but I didn't want to get in trouble like John got in trouble.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Got it. I got a text. I looked down, and then Aaron caught me. I was like, oh, fuck.
You're going to get your phone confiscated.
It's going to happen.
That's why, no phones in classrooms, guys. Come on now. Yeah. No, but if you have any extemporaneous thoughts you'd like to provide, Peter, where the floor is yours. I think he's looking at his phone now.
Oh, no, I'm doodling. There seems to be an uptick in ICE activity. Chris Murphy, the senator from Connecticut, was talking about some shit in Danbury, and then another fucking 5-year-old was kidnapped in Texas. So, you know, fuck those assholes. Yeah. I hope hell is real.
Strong uptick in third country removals recently as well. It's, you know, it's hard to know if what we're seeing is, if that there was 18 months of groundwork being laid and we are only now seeing, like, the fruits of that, for lack of a better word, or if these guys are just chaos all the time and they're ramping up because in like a month and a half, there's going to be a month and a half, two and a half months, 2 months and change. There's going to be an election that's going to go so poorly for them, and they've got to get as much done as they can before that happens.
I wonder if they think that like fear will help them, that they like don't, that they're not picking up on the negative polarization. I don't know anything, but I, you know, the elections that have occurred in the last year do not suggest that they're, that all this shit is going to help them at the ballot box. But
they seem to be true believers in pure evil.
Yeah. Real actual fucking monsters.
It's so difficult to get in. I just don't understand. Incapable of even understanding.
Yeah. And, you know, I still don't feel like we have a vocal leadership for my wing of the Democratic Party, which is vengeance and retribution.
No, not yet.
We're working
although John Ossoff might
he seems to have really gotten under their skin.
Might be the guy.
And there does, I'm starting to think there may be a part of him that's a true hater.
Oh,
and
he's
I think he hid that for a long time. He seemed like such an Obama style, like big picture, nice guy, believer kind of thing. And actually there's this edge there that it's like he is a millennial and he is a fucking hater.
Yeah. the only thing I wish he had said in response to the uproar over his travel with Natalie comment is something along the lines of course I wasn't implying that she was sleeping with the president. We all know the president is incapable of that right now. He's swollen ankles and bruised hands held together by a tactical diaper.
He wears a cardboard box to catch the shit that overflows from the diaper.
I think I saw it expressed as he can't do it. He definitely wants to, so he's mostly decomposing in her direction at this point. Oh God, yeah, fuck those guys.
Yeah. Anyway, you asked if I had any thoughts, and that's what's
about the
on
open
my mind.
Roots. I mean, oh, I know about you have thoughts roots. Generally, but about the open roots.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from my intense film study, I thought they really looked improved last week.
The highlights made them look really good.
That's right.
the remix of the match set to Despacito.
Yeah. I think that what Martin has going on with the defense right now gives me optimism. Although I sort of remain where I was last week, and like it's a climb to make something out of this season that isn't like to like get a kind of result out of the season, a playoff berth, a playoff win. Like both of those things are going to be, it is going to be tough to get those things right now. Still, but also I feel like that result is sort of consistent with my overall feeling that I expressed last week, which is that like, I think Martin's doing a good job. I think he has good ideas that I like watching on the pitch when I am capable of watching them.
All right. So as many matches as are left in this season, I feel like the next 2 weeks are actually pretty pivotal for the Oakland Roots playoff chances. They have Orange County and Lexington. Sorry, it's not the next 2 weeks. It's the next two matches. There is a break. We do have an off week after Orange County, but Orange County at home, Lexington at home, and then away against Indy, home against Phoenix, away against Colorado Springs, home against San Antonio, and then you finish the season away against Tulsa and away against Sacramento Republic. So these two home matches, they kind of feel important They're not going to be able to get away with a bunch of draws here. They're going to need to get 3 points somewhere. And it feels like, you know, they'll pick up an upset somewhere. I have no doubt they'll pick up an upset somewhere, but they've got to get, I think, at least 4 points out of the next two matches. That seems like a prerequisite, and it would really help to get them.
We have the same record home and away right now, for what it's worth, in terms of calling these, in terms of calling these must win because they're home games. That may not help us right now.
I'd love to believe that this team followed convention and was better at home. That would make my life a lot easier. Still, when you add in the travel at the end of a long season, I feel like those are still much more difficult than playing at home.
Yeah, for some reason, this club has historically been very mediocre at home, just bad at home. I think a stat was fed to me some time ago, and it's pretty depressing. I think they have 6 wins at the Coliseum. Sacramento has 4.
Well, no, I was thinking that, like, a sort of less grim version of that is, like, if you take all of the venues where the Oakland Roots have ever played games, they have very possibly played more games at Heart Health Park than some of the venues that have been their home venues, because they've played 2 or 3 games at Heart Health Park, like, most seasons, which at this point is, like, 18 games. Anyway, just a thought.
But a good point for, you know, the next two matches, that's going to be very important. Just looking at the table, you know, Las Vegas, their next two is Charleston and New Mexico. That's pretty favorable. Lexington, they lost tonight. They have Colorado Springs up next. Not sure who you want to win or lose there. Maybe a tie. Maybe Lexington winning is better for Roots.
That's because, for those of you who are not staring at the table right now, Lexington sits in 7th and Colorado Springs sits in 9th.
9th, yeah. So I think those 2-3 teams got to keep an eye on. Sacramento, they got Monterey coming up. Come on, Monterey. And then they got Orange County and then Detroit. So pretty tough matches all around. So yeah, these next two for Roots, man, if they could get 6, that'd be we're singing a different tune.
I think if they get 6, they're probably over the playoff line, at least
temporarily. Oh yeah, for sure. At least temporarily, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to shoot for the stars here, you know? But here's how we'll ask this question this week. The big wrinkles from last week: Wilson off the bench, Fisher in midfield, the Garcia Hackshaw back center back partnership. Which would you most like to see carried forward into this next match, and how? Which would you like to see carried forward, and how will it help the Roots beat Orange County?
I mean,
what does this victory look like?
I mean, I went over it. It's definitely Mark Fisher starting for me. I think I could live with Edwards coming back. I could live with Hackshaw starting again. I could live with the attack staying the same too. But I think or you know, Wilson coming back in starting. But either way, I think, yeah, Fisher starting in the midfield, that's got to be something they run back, just because that's been such a poor point of the team for the last, yeah, like you said earlier, for really the whole season. It's been so, so inconsistent. So they got to try something. And Fisher had a little spark there. It's nice that he's back healthy. Yeah, see what he can do. See if that is really the catalyst that can, you know, make the change here.
So where does that leave us with how the Roots win? What does that ultimately look like?
Oh boy, Orange County been giving up some goals lately, haven't they? I'm going I'm going 3-1 Roots.
So I mean, I'm with John in that, like, if we have to keep one of those changes, which do we keep? I mean, I keep Fisher in there because I think that that's a good change that I think was a strategic decision versus the other two, which I think that Wilson is probably get, you know, like a sort of vacation and a sort of not a vacation, a getting his legs back and a sort of like a kick in the ass. And I maintain that I think that Edwards was benched to for a rest. Okay. I think that if we don't see Fisher in that position, that there are two explanations for that. One of them would be if one of our outside backs needs a break and we need to put Fisher there. Dave Vincente has played a lot. He's really important. I think he is unbenchable right now he is in our best 11 right now. But like with Edwards, guys need breaks, you know? So that's one reason I could see Fisher being moved. Another thing is I think, the front office is putting a lot more work into this, like individual opposition preparation, and not the front office, the technical staff, than we are. And they may well say some matchup in Orange County's midfield means that Fisher isn't the guy. In that case, it's probably not so much Fisher isn't the guy, it's Bobasi is the guy. Right, or something like that. I will be very curious if Edwards doesn't get his spot back. You know, I asserted earlier that I thought that that was about rest, but maybe Ryan Martin saw something in last game that said we're better off with the two guys who can do the progressive passing, even if Hackshaw's overall not as good a defender right now as Edwards is. And that may be, we didn't concede to San Antonio with that defense out there. So there's absolutely a case to be made for, like, if the worst defense with better offense still doesn't concede, you run them out, right? Because that's a winning combination. So I'm also curious if he thinks that Wilson needs more time off the bench. Wilson's better off the bench. I don't know that I agree with that, but I guess it wouldn't totally shock me, but I'm thinking Wilson starts this game. How do the Roots win this game? They don't. Orange County wins 1-0.
For the record, last time Peter predicted a loss, we won. So
it was last week, was it not?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So I think we can see
if I acknowledge that tension, I ruin it.
Okay, we got you. We'll acknowledge it for you. I actually think I would like to continue to see Wilson off the bench. I'd like to see a little bit more of that. With the defense, with Orange County's defense, if it continues to play the way that it has, you know, I think that I want someone who's able to feed Wolfgang and some of his runs in behind from the left. I like Jockeson out there from the beginning. We've heard from the beginning of the season, he's one of the few guys on the team that can just beat his man. And I think that's kind of what I want to see against the defense that's struggling. Lapa is kind of a withdrawn 9 or advanced 10. You know, I think that could really work. And then you bring on Wilson at the end of the game to start receiving long balls. I would not have a problem seeing McCabe and Bjarahanga in the midfield. McCabe and Gibson start in the midfield. Don't have an issue with that. I liked, the Bravo, Hackshaw, Garcia, chemistry from the last match. But, Tingy and De Vicente along the back line, that's a lot of chances. I don't mind that either. So I, I, w- I want to see at least one more match of Wilson off the bench with 30 minutes to just run riot on a squad that has an hour in its legs.
Can I jump in briefly and say that when I've been thinking about Wilson off the bench, I mean, we're talking about Wilson off the bench versus Wilson starting, right? And it kind of turns Lapa into this placeholder, but he's not. He's like a potentially really exciting player that we have gotten to see a fair amount of. He hasn't like created any goals yet, but it is interesting. I mean, it's such a funny, we would be so fired up about a new signing in that position if that wasn't the position where we had the most exciting player who's being benched for him. You know, like everyone's favorite route right now is Peter Wilson because he won the Golden Boot. But I really, it's like when, as soon as Aaron said that about like sort of, you wouldn't mind Wilson off the bench, it's like the flip side of that isn't, you know, it's not just Wilson will be better against tired defenses. It's like, well, I think that Lapa as a sort of withdrawn nine is maybe really interesting. And we haven't seen the fruits of that yet, but he's getting starts very early into his Roots tenure. You know, he is not being eased in the way that many new signings have been. And he hasn't totally fired yet, but you know, you have to say that like it could, you know, it's like
it's looked good.
The game where he scores two goals and the Roots blow away their opponent is very likely in the cards. You know, we've seen enough for me to think that he is going to have a moment in his Roots career where he wins a game. So anyway, I know that we're in your time
even better than I did. So I appreciate that. I don't know that this is the game where Lapa, you know, is on a hat trick at some point, but I do like, this is an offense that is creating chances. It's not creating enough necessarily in any game, but it's creating chances. And if they can start putting them away, you have to like your chances. I wish I could have come up with a different word other than chances, so I didn't use it in two different senses.
You said it too many times. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm going to go 3-2 Oakland Roots. A little payback for the last time in Orange County. All right, so that's this weekend at the Coliseum. This is actually kind of an early one, right? This is like
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Yeah, that's going to throw my Saturday schedule off. 5 o'clock Coliseum, Oakland Roots, Orange County Soccer Club. You know, for a couple of the marbles, it's an important match in the run in. And it's always nice to beat teams from the suburbs because, like, what the hell is that, you know? All right, so we'll be back before the Lexington match to talk about that and whatever else comes up, you know, in the world of the Oakland Roots or just the world in general. And until then, up the Roots.